Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the damp, dark cave of Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And once again, whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you're not aware or you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. So welcome all. And let's talk about what that movie is. Let's just get that out of the way, guys.
All right.
This week, selected by James Hardsub Savage.
Yes, sir.
Here we go, Savage. 2013's Any Lovin' Is Good Lovin' film adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's Child of God.
Is that how it's pronounced?
No. I'm really just going to let it go.
Okay. Child of Gad, yeah. We'll set that tone. Whenever I say God, I'm saying Gad. Okay, Child of God, 2013. We're talking about first-time director James Franco. And this is your selection. So here we are this morning. Nothing like this kind of conversation on a good Saturday morning. Start right. The weekend off proper.
Right.
this film stars, let's talk about the players, Scott Hayes. Yeah. Boy, he's a hard-working actor.
Yeah.
He goes the distance.
He'll do just about
He'll do
anything.
Full
commit.
He's like the new Roddy McDowell.
He is. Yeah, Roddy McDowell. Tim Blake Nelson. We know who that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tim Blake Nelson from Oh Brother Where Art Thou,
yep.
is what I think of.
He's a horny toad.
He's a horny toad.
They sexed him up.
James Franco, obviously, the director. Well, he's in the film.
Cameo.
Yeah, slightly getting into player, though. He's in it for
credit
more
crawler.
Than...
He's a credit crawler.
He is a credit crawler. And we have to give a shout out to Nina Leggetti. And I'll tell you why later. Yeah, when you take on that role, you're going to get a nod.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's your players right there.
She's cute, too.
Yeah, she was cute in the movie, wasn't she, Max? Yeah,
for
she was.
For a little bit.
Yeah, for a while. At one point, she was. So there you go. 2013's Child of God. Selected by James Hardsub Savage. And so, you know, if you've seen this film, keep listening to see if you agree with our take on it. Or if not, you listen to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. Date night. I'm Michael, along with, as always, to my left. Let's just say it again. James, so hard, so sub, so savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm all right, Savage. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, did you have a pretty good week?
I had a pretty good week. How was your week?
How was my week?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a great week. You want to know why?
Sure.
Well, let me tell you why I had a great week, Savage. Did you know no time whatsoever did I have to take a dump in the woods and then clean up my crack with a pointed stick?
No time?
Did you know that, unlike the producer?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
A pointed stick.
I thought that happened every week.
It might happen the end of this week. Did you know at no time did I have to walk around with snot in my mustache?
That's good. Haven't been sick.
Did you have to lick it off a flashlight because you were starving in the cave?
Yes, I did. Not any time during this week did I have to put up my wife giving me a cold shoulder.
Oh.
Or a cold torso. Or a cold leg.
Just
or
a hot
a cold
pillow.
Arm. Yeah, everything was warm. That's what I'm telling you.
Right.
It was all warm.
She did give you a cold stare.
She gave me a cold stare, yeah, and it was like, get to the other room. You had chili last night. So there you go. You say, Savage, I had a great week.
All right, I'm glad to hear it.
When you could say all those things in synchronicity, you had a pretty good week.
It's a good week.
Yeah.
Good week.
In synchronicity.
In synchronicity.
Synchronicity with who?
The police. He's got the police on
the mic. It's just, it's all together. It's all as one, Max. It's all as one. Max Gumbo Johnson, by the way, to my right. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Pretty cold outside.
You know, if Scott Hayes was not up for this role, I think you just stuck the landing. You could have been in this movie.
Would you have committed, though, Max?
Sure.
Full commit.
Yeah, except for that one scene, it wasn't too bad.
That one scene, really?
What?
That one scene.
Duty in the woods. I'd have been like, what? You want me to what?
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Come on.
All right, let's keep the duty rolling. We're going over to Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of high-quality outerwear.
Hey, hi.
Hey, man. That's so good to see you.
Good to see
My
you guys.
God, it's been a while. Yeah, let's round it out with the producer. the greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast. We're talking about Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, what's going on? What are you turning into a, what's that?
Raj.
Raj. G-Raj. Yeah. So here we all are. Q Filmcast. Savage brings this one into the queue. He wheels it on in here.
Yeah.
Child of God. I can't wait to hear what you guys think of this one. I think we have some things we can chat about and chat about and talk about. The big thing here is it's written by Cormac McCarthy, guys. Yeah. We know who this is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wrote No Country for Old Men. Mm-hmm. Wrote The Road. Mm-hmm. Wrote All the Pretty Horses.
Blood Meridian,
yeah. I mean, the guy has like a devoted fan base of people that love his work.
My mom went to school with him and my dad.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. I have a picture of her.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep, they went to the same high school.
Huh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I like them apples.
Well, what I want to tell you is that this film is supposedly based on someone that he knew, so hopefully...
Well, it ain't my mom. Whoa.
Okay, I'm just saying, there's a tie in here. Be careful, you're treading on something here, okay? Cormac McCarthy. Very interesting, Max. We'll talk about that later. Directed by James Franco. I don't think this is his first turn as a director, though.
I think he also
directed something else by previous to this. Look at the producer. He's producing this thing.
Well, he just did a couple of things.
What else you got?
As I Lay Dying. He did that not long ago.
Yeah.
I think this was his first one, though.
This was his first feature. This is the one where he said, I'm going to tackle some really heavy material. And if anything, as I'm researching this film, that's something that a lot of people gave him credit for. It's like, you know, you said you wanted to get into something real dense, real heavy.
Yeah.
And for you to tackle anything by McCarthy on this budget, a lot of people respected him for that.
So, you got to respect Franco.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he really grabbed it, you know, grabbed a hold of this thing and tried to squeeze as much out of it by the stick. Yeah. Let's talk about what the critics gave this thing, though. Child of God 2013. Yeah. Kind of a fresh film.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call it fresh.
Yeah, not exactly fresh. Yeah. You're right. Something's been sitting around a while.
Right.
Savage.
Yeah.
Let's lead this off with you. We're talking about IMDb and what they gave this film.
Okay.
What do you think IMDb gave this film?
7.9.
No, 5.5.
What?
Say, huh?
Wow.
5.5, but we know the spiel on IMDb.
Oh yeah, it's all user.
Yeah.
All
user.
So in other words, you're saying the critics have some merit now, because most of the time you say they're stupid.
No, I just said they're all users. I didn't. You're inferring something.
No. I heard it in your voice.
It's funny how when you agree with them, you're like, oh, IMDb is perfect. These are sharp people. When they don't agree with you, it's like, there's a bunch of users.
Yep. That's what he was saying.
What about Rotten Tomatoes, Max? Critics wise, what do you think Rotten Tomatoes gave this film critics wise?
Critics, 54%.
38.
Whoa. That's a 38.
Isn't that what Equilibrium got?
Yeah,
from the critics, right?
What about users? And listen, you can't fault anybody for not recommending this film or loving it.
No.
I can't part ways with you on the emotional impact of it. But Hoodie, users wise on Rotten Tomatoes,
58,
24. Wow.
Have you read them? The reviews on from the users?
No.
It was just basically unwatchable. It made me feel terrible about humans.
Well,
most of them were like, it has nothing to do with the film. I just couldn't watch it. I hated it.
Really?
Yeah. And interesting.
Wow.
You want to talk about why? You want to talk about why that is and what this film is?
It's pretty heavy.
Let's get into this one, guys. And here's what you have. Child of God. Oh, my God. Set in the mountains of Sevier County, Tennessee. We've all been there, I bet.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hoodie, damn, you grew up there.
Shut up.
Yeah. Set in Hoodie's backyard, which is childhood home.
I think I saw him pass through my backyard when I was in high school, just dragging a mattress and yelling things at me.
Did you live in a cave? There's some caves out there.
There's lots of caves.
Appalachia.
Actually, Sevier County. This is not a great calling card for that. But, you know, it's a great part of the country. Gatlinburg, the whole thing, love it. Sevier County, Tennessee, just up the road from where we're sitting right here. 1960s tells the story of Lester Ballard, a dispossessed, violent man whom the narrator describes as a child of God, much like yourself, perhaps. Ballard's life is a disastrous attempt to exist outside the social order, successively deprived of parents and homes and with few other ties. Ballard descends literally and figuratively to the level of a cave dweller as he falls deeper into crime and degradation. Released in the summer of 2013, Child of God was placed for official competition at the 70th Venice International Film Festival and was an official selection of the 2013 Toronto International Film Festival. After its release to the public, it received mainly mixed reviews, from scathing to high praise. Many people who watched the film have gone on to say that although they thought it may have been a good film, they just couldn't like it, nor would they ever recommend it. Franco did, however, garner a fair amount of attaboys from his peers, who saw his ability to take on such material for a directorial debut as highly bold and brave. Absolutely. You want to just do a trailer?
Sure.
Is there a trailer of this? Yeah, Matt, you want to do a trailer of this?
Sure, let's do one right now.
I'll do the banjo.
Get off my property. Get off my property.
So it goes a little something like that. So here you go. Here's a trailer, Child of God. We're going to come back and tell you what we thought of this one right here.
He had that rifle from when he was just a boy.
Get right up, folks. On the car. Shoot out the red dot in the middle.
I'll say one thing. He could shoot it. Hit anything he could see.
Mm-hmm. That's right. See right where you is.
Let's go.
Where do you reckon they is, Sheriff?
You oughtn't to mind helping us unscramble a little misunderstanding.
Okay.
Well, what things is you've done we ain't found out yet?
I see your driver's license.
You ain't the law.
You tell us where you put them bodies.
Shoot me. All right, so there you go. We got a live one here. Child of God, 2013. queued up by James Hard Sub Savage. So here we go, guys. Let's talk about this movie.
All right.
Let's do it. You know, here's where we are. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get lively. Come out of the cave, and here we are. Let's talk a little bit about trivia, some facts and figures as we do.
A little trash talk.
A little trash talk on the film, yeah. Did you know, Savage, did you know that Scott Hayes was recently named as one of Variety's 10 actors to watch?
No.
Since its inception 15 years ago, the list has become a key showcase celebrating the finest new talents. Past winners have been Adrian Brody, Melissa Leo, Christoph Waltz, Jennifer Lawrence, and Octavia Spencer.
Some good company. Not a bad list.
Scott Hayes is in that list. A lot of people are saying, hey, he's a talent to watch. He's a hard-working guy. He'll bring his lunch pail.
Yeah.
Hard hat and lunch pail. I'm going to work.
And then I'll poop in it.
Yeah. Hoodie, did you know that actor Scott Hayes actually moved to Sevierville, lived in your previously owned home, stayed in your bedroom in Tennessee to prepare for the dynamic and challenging role of Lester Ballard? He lived in an isolated cabin in the woods, lost 50 pounds, and was reportedly sleeping in caves most nights. Most of his time in isolation was spent working on perfecting this accent and how he would speak it. He wanted to be seemingly unintelligible, but somehow understandable.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of overkill.
I don't think Daniel Day-Lewis would do that.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis is like, nope.
What do you mean as far as living in a cave?
Yeah, I mean.
Method. The method.
That's a little much.
He showed up to work. That's what I'm going to tell you.
He did more than just show
up. Do you think he actually
up.
Did stay in your house in Sevierville?
Yeah, my meemaw, she charged him $13 a month for rent.
Did you know, Max Gumbo Johnson, did you know that while living as a cave dweller for the role, his only link to the outside world was his iPod, which contained only the music of Eminem?
Wow. No, that'd be enough to drive anyone crazy.
Yeah, what's that all about, producer?
I don't know.
Only the music of Eminem.
My character would only listen to Eminem.
Yeah.
I know this instinctively.
That's a ballad of him from Eminem.
I'm telling you right now.
He wanted something unintelligible to listen to.
Yeah, and whenever we want that, we just go to your place. whenever we want something unintelligible to listen to, we say, hey, Adam, come over and talk to me.
By the way, Adam's new nickname is Fruit Ninja.
No, it's Fruit Ninja.
It's Fruit Ninja.
Why?
It was either that or Fruity Ninja.
That is
ninja.
Stupid.
Fruit Ninja.
Because Mr. I play on my phone while I'm supposed to be watching a movie.
Right.
It was one time. The movie wasn't that good.
Sure it was.
And you were on a date.
Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, he's the Fruit Ninja.
And this is definitely not Fruit Ninja because I wasn't playing that.
A former episode throwback.
Right.
All right, a little more trivia here. Did you know that 1969 author Cormac McCarthy and his wife moved to Louisville, Tennessee, purchased a barn? That's where he wrote this book.
Mm-hmm.
He redid all the stonework in the barn, lived in it. And he says Child of God is based on actual events.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who this person is. so I can avoid them.
Did you know that a film adaptation of McCarthy's most hailed book, Blood Meridian, has been rumored for years? James Franco, Todd Field, Scott Rudin, and Ridley Scott have been connected at one point, which has fallen through at least twice.
Wow. Just give it to the Coens and let them
go. There you go.
Do it.
I hear that. I don't even know the material in that, but I hear it's pretty...
I heard it's pretty rough. I've not read it.
Brace yourself, strap yourself in kind of thing. What are we going to talk about currency? We're going to rate this thing, too. That's what we do.
We're
going to rate this thing, too. We don't use thumbs up and thumbs down.
No, nope, that's presumptuous.
It's dumb, stupid.
Dumb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you want to use, Max?
We're carnival prizes.
You like that, Savage?
I do. Carnival prizes.
Because that's what's in the film.
That's right.
Big fluffy bears.
Yeah, he could win them.
Yes,
and
he could.
A tiger.
He could win them.
Savage, let's get into it now. You queued this film up, so obviously we're going to go to you first.
Yeah.
Child of God, 2013. What you going with? What you got?
Well, let me see. Between a 6 and a 7. I understand why people can't recommend it. But there's an old saying from Dennis Hopper. It's like, whether you spell it R-A-T or T-A-R, it's still art.
Right.
And so it's in that vein. You know, it's not all art is meant to be pleasant. And this is certainly not that.
Those are my initials.
So I can't go higher than a 7. So.
You can't go higher than a 7?
Nope.
Okay.
So it's a 7?
7.
Okay,
7 carnival prizes for you. But it's effective.
It is that.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention this earlier. We do a top 3 list, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of degeneration in this film. Degenerates. Forgot to mention this. I need to get this out right now. Our top 3 at the end of this movie is top 3 degenerates in film.
Yeah, let's make that clear.
Let's make that clear. So that is the inspiration.
Different.
So when Savage talks about, it's a degenerative movie. So we're going to talk about top 3 degenerates. Speaking of which, no, I can't do that. That's a terrible lead-in for anybody. Hoodie, let's just go to you. You are certainly not a degenerate.
Thank you, Mike.
You are certainly not a cave dweller.
You never know.
But if you know, you could actually grow a cave dweller beard, though, I think, if you really had to
tie some rats into it.
What do you got for Child of God?
I'm going to go 5.
Yeah.
I thought you're saying that the subject was a little tricky. I agree. I think he still made a lot of easy choices in this one. Franco, that is.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Played it safe?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Played it safe.
I can't wait to hear some examples of that. I think I've seen that brought up. But yeah, okay, I got you. 8 there. I'm sorry, 5 there for you?
5.
And 7 for Savage.
Yes, sir.
Producer, straight to you. Let's go over there, man. What you going to give this film, 2013, Child of God?
I'm going straight 8.
Straight 8.
Like Paul Thomas Anderson.
I'm so tempted right now to say why. Should I or should I wait?
Wait for the 8.
Wait for the 8. Okay. I can't wait, producer. I think that's exceptional. 8 for you. Okay.
Wait for that 8.
Child of God, Max, 2013. We're talking about carnival
prizes.
Toys and prizes. What you going to give?
I'm going to give it 5 carnival prizes.
Really?
Going straight 5. Yeah. Right down the middle, buddy.
Okay.
Right down the middle.
Well, here's the best way I can say it if it's my turn. Child of God is a son of a bitch. I don't say that as a negative, though. I'm pretty much sure that was the blueprint. A warm, fuzzy movie this was not to be.
No.
Or was it meant to be? And if it was left with any idea that there was some sort of an apology for that, then I would be disappointed. I don't think it apologizes.
Mm-mm.
To me, it's a successful film. And I say it's a very good movie, too. I'm fully prepared to champion this thing a bit. I watched it twice, and I'm just left with respect for it. I kind of felt the conviction of the project in every frame. It's like these people showed up with their meager budget, their nasty plot, their brutal plot, their ridiculously ambitious actor. I mean, for God's sakes, Hoodie, he took a dump on screen for you.
Not for me.
You understand what I'm... No, for you. For all of us. What I'm saying is everybody felt invested in the role, overly invested. I don't see how you can't be entranced, though, by what Hicks did here. I was really into that. He slathered it on thick for sure, but it worked for me. It went a long way for the film. Did for me, too. I don't typically gravitate towards violence or gratuitous nonsense, but I don't think that's what it has to do with the center of this film.
It isn't.
No, what grabbed me was ultimately the content of what I was supposed to think about, and it made me appreciate it. I found this to be an entrancing look at loneliness and unacceptance. To me, Lester Ballard is a sympathetic creature, grasping for breath. That was really brought onto the screen well, just like your oxygen, your body needs oxygen. Your soul needs other things too, or it'll drown.
Yeah.
So the content's really good. It really does go to work for the audience. Like I say, Hoodie, he took a dump on screen for you. Okay. I'm going to go 8.
All right.
8?
I'm surprised by this. I thought that there was a lot here for me to appreciate. I'm going 8.
You and Adam the same. I don't know that that's ever happened.
No, I don't think so. Probably for different reasons.
I think it's going to be for different reasons.
No.
But like I'll say again, Child God is a son of a bitch. But man, it's it worked for me, and I need you guys to tell me why, probably.
There's 33 carnival prizes.
Okay, well, let's get into it, guys. Right. I went up a little higher than I thought. Savage, you're up there. You guys are in the middle. When you think of this film, Savage, what are you going to talk about?
Well,
what comes up first?
If you listen to the show and you're a fan of the show, you know that I resonate with the tragedy of the lonely guy.
Mm-hmm.
Those stories resonate with me. And if there was somebody more lonely than Lester Ballard, I don't know that I've ever seen it. And it is absolutely heartrending how he tries to reach out over and over and over and finally finds connection only in death, which is kind of the ultimate tragedy. And Scott Hayes, just this is worth watching for the powerhouse performance of Scott Hayes. He is an actor too.
Scott Hicks?
It's Hayes. Scott Hayes.
Hayes. I think it's Hayes.
It's Hayes. Sorry, my apologies.
Yeah. He is an actor to take note of. You'll see more of him because he did full-on commit. And, you know, the proximity to us, the Sevier County, I've met people like this. Their accent is so deep. It's almost like they're speaking a different language that you can understand.
It's weird. It's like you don't know what he's saying, but you know what he's telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Yeah, it's like a different language that you that you understand. You couldn't speak it, but you understand what he's saying.
You know, I understand what you're saying. I like how you're pulling back the layers and saying that there's a bit more there, especially with reaching out to other people and being shot down. There's one scene in the jail where he wants to make a friend so bad.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, you're pulled out of that, wow, this is an awful film to look at because of what you're seeing and realizing that there's a bigger story here.
Yeah. He's reaching out, and even that's denied him by death, you know, because John gets taken away to die. And the carnival where he's reaching out, when you could tell he everybody's around him and they're not ostracizing him at the carnival, and he feels belongs, like he's okay, he's in society, and you can tell he's happy. And then when he starts winning that meager success that he has, even just winning the carnival prizes, where he's connected with something,
right?
And then it's immediately kind of taken away, you know, where the mother pulls the daughter away, and you know, it's so he's still outcast.
Yeah, I think if you have to have a sympathy for this guy to have it be impactful, and I felt very sympathetic towards him. At least the heart of what he had. He did not have so much a dark soul.
No, he is deranged. You may
think. He's deranged, but there's a lot of splatterings in this movie of him trying to get back to the light.
Yeah, yeah,
but
for
anyways.
Sure.
Hoodie, what do you have?
That's interesting. I tried to, I got all this. I just felt like they didn't really explore that or go as deep into him being ostracized as much as I think that they could have. And the whole time I'm watching this, I'm really just saying to myself, man, I really need to read this book. I bet you this is a great
book.
Me
too.
Because the movie just wasn't hitting it. I felt like a lot of Franco's shots were just easy. The soundtrack was easy. Scott Hayes, great. He did a fantastic job. Yeah. I mean, he really did. I mean, he was the whole thing, and that's tricky to do, as none of us know, I guess. Maybe. I've never had to do it, but I assume that's a very, very tricky thing to do. There was just no mood to the movie, I guess, is what I was really lacking with it. It just seemed really like something that you'd watch on, like, ABC in the 80s. And that, you know what I mean, though? Just kind of like...
Minus the Duke scene.
You know what I'm saying.
Okay, well, Hoodie, I can't wait to get into a little bit more of that.
Also, I don't gravitate towards the Southern Gothic writers that much.
Really?
I would consider this a very Southern Gothic story, even if he's not a Southern Gothic writer, per se. Just focusing on... you know, the derangement of the South, basically. They pick out, like, the very worst characteristics of the South and just exploit the out of it. And it just irks me.
You see, I don't know if I thought it was so much a Southern story. It's just a guy in the South who's from there. I don't think it pulled apart. This is relevant to the area.
Yeah, but it's very much so a Southern Gothic story.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but...
Every aspect of it is where your main character is a degenerate and small town and... All that. The whole thing is very Southern Gothic.
Okay.
And I just don't like it. I really just have
You mean you're talking about
that.
Like Sling Blade as well and stuff like that?
I would consider Sling Blade a Southern Gothic, sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay, but the overemphasized, what do you call it, tropes and things like that in the South.
Yeah.
Well, it's you can make, like you said, easy decisions. It's easy to go to the stereotype and the cliche. Yeah.
And being a Southern boy, I guess I just have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because we have hockey now.
don't get me into the whole stuff. I have a whole take. Never mind.
Yeah, anyways, we know. We don't want to start
that. Yeah, we don't want to start that. Right. It terrifies me when I hear, never mind. I better stop. Max Gumbo Johnson.
Let's get into this thing. I think you went five down the middle.
I did go five.
Bullseye right there in the center. What you going with?
Surprise.
What do you think of when you think of this film outright and off the bat?
I think James Franco could have done a way better job, to be honest. I think a lot of the problems with this film are due to the direction.
Yeah.
I get that the guy wanted to be somewhat unintelligible, but still be able, well, you know, there were parts I'm like, what did he say? I can't understand what he's saying. I literally was like, what did he say right there? James Franco should have said, look, I know what you're trying to do. Let's make it a little more clear so we can understand, because it's called dialogue. You want to speak it to a certain extent. I understand what he was doing, but it was a little too much for me. So, and like Matt said, some of the shots were just too
plain, every day.
Plain cliches, like, oh, yeah, here's a shot up at the sky through the trees. Okay, I haven't seen that in many
Right, but there's
before.
No, like you said that you go towards, like, the beautiful in the movies, yeah. Which is, there's nothing really that pops out as, like, a defining scene that's like, oh, that's a gorgeous shot. I didn't say that once.
I don't think the camera work was all that great at all.
Cinematography wasn't great.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, you know what?
But one more thing, what Matt said about, it didn't explore these themes of loneliness and isolation and stuff like that. And y'all are talking about how you're sympathetic to the guy. I'm not sympathetic to him at all. He was a jerk. He was a jerk. Was
that's
a
little
jerk.
Too simple to say he's
I
just
disagree.
A jerk.
I think he was a jerk.
He is a jerk, but
he's a jerk. I mean, he got what he had coming to him a lot of the time.
I can pull out scenes of sympathy all day out of this film, to be honest.
And I can pull out scenes of him being a total jerk all day, too.
Well, that's just an easy scratch in the surface like a lottery ticket. He's just a jerk. I mean, come on.
Okay. That's like saying, hey, I taught kids to read while I was in jail or something. You know, well, does that make you a good person because you're in jail teaching kids to read, but you're in there because you murdered somebody? I mean, you know.
He's not. This is a damaged protagonist. This is a guy who's seeping in loneliness, who's desperately trying to find his way out, crawling out from the earth like he does at the end of the film.
Yeah,
that's not just a jerk.
It feels like that the people around him made him who they thought he was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he started out as like, he probably was a decent guy. He's got like a speech impediment. He's not the cleanest guy. So people kind of shun him. And then, they project, you know, all this negativity on him.
Yeah.
That's not really there.
Yeah.
But by the end of the movie, it seems like he's just absorbed all of that and become, you know, what they told him he was.
Well,
and that's like the underlying theme of the whole thing.
It has a lot to do with how we treat each other and the results of it and what the effects of how we treat others in society can be.
Right.
You know, I mean, but the loneliness came through for me. The sympathy came through for me a lot in this film.
I was sympathetic to him more at the beginning than at the end. When you know, when he found the car, I kind of started to go pull him back a little, like, eh.
Yeah.
But on top of that, he didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And nobody ever told him, what you're doing is wrong.
Oh, he did, though, Hoodie. He struggled mightily in that scene. He would leave the car. He knew it was wrong. He would get far away from it and then run back and do a little something else and run away again. He was completely torn between right and wrong. I think he knew all the time that this was the wrong way to go, but his loneliness was so overbearing and so grasping that he could not escape it. He would literally look up at the screen at the sky and go, once in a while, tortured soul.
I disagree with you on the car scene that he was going back because he didn't know what to do. He was going back because he forgot to take his rabbit. And then he went back because he forgot to start the car. He didn't want to get caught is what he did.
No, he was torn. He was desperately trying not
if
to become
that
If
he was that torn, he,
that
wouldn't, he wouldn't have bothered to start the car back up.
Max, he starts out, first he just feels
he
her out and leaves.
He left his gun there. He left his rabbit there. He didn't start the car back up.
No, he was torn, completely torn as to what he
I
should
mean,
do.
But what Max is saying is legit, too.
He was
trying to avoid
being
capture.
Caught.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. You don't want to be caught doing that. I mean, but then that shows that he knows right from wrong.
Yeah.
That implies that he does know. But you can't say that he's not damaged.
I didn't say he wasn't damaged.
What happens is he progresses into feral. He becomes feral throughout this movie.
Well, he gets more and more homeless as the movie. I mean, it starts off with him auctioning his dad's property.
Because his father killed himself.
Well, but that's beside the point. He loses his house, and then he moves into the little, he goes squat in the little cabin. And then he burns that down.
And he squatted in the woods.
Yeah. And then he goes and lives in a cave.
Right.
So more and more he's getting close, farther
more
and farther
feral.
Away from.
Yeah, more
feral.
Feral.
Yeah.
But we've got a surprise 8 over here we need to hear.
Yeah, Adam, let's go to 8 on you. You gave this 8, and
let's
I want to know why.
Fruit Ninja.
I want to know why. What you got?
I didn't see anything wrong with this movie. I didn't have any problems with the subject matter. Didn't really see any of the cinematography that y'all were talking about, bad or anything. I thought everything fit well.
Had a nice pace. Right?
Yes. when it started out, I wasn't a big fan of it. I thought it was just like, oh, God, we're just going to focus on a crazy dude for half the thing. Because I went in not knowing anything about this movie.
Yeah.
I was shocked the whole entire time. And that's one thing I liked about it, is that I was shocked.
Yeah.
But I wanted more backstory from this guy. I just thought it took too long to get to this main story. But I saw this as a horror movie within the eyes of a or from the point of view of the killer.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it turns into that.
You know, the reasoning behind all of his actions, though, is what I liked. And you talk about backstory. You know, I found it odd that they just kept throwing in just a little bit of narration, kind of out of the blue, where they were just
from the sheriff.
Yeah, they talked about how the dad killed himself, and then he grew lean and bitter, always slouched with a gun in his hand, like they were reading pages from the book.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah, literally, and I thought that that was an easy way out for Franco. He didn't spend any time going back into the backstory of this guy more than that. But it worked for me. I don't need to know any more than what the narrator came in and told me. And that was like, okay, that's all I need. Yeah. That worked for me still. It was odd, but it worked for me. It worked for the story.
I'm not crazy about that sort of technique. It is lazy. Yeah.
It didn't work for the story.
I don't think it did either.
But you know, a lot of people, when I read about the criticism of this film, and it goes right back to what you two said, it felt like there wasn't enough craft to hold up the weight of the story. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, the problem is, if you're going to make this movie, you have to have like a Road kind of budget.
Yeah.
Where you can really create these gray, dark, brooding sets.
Bleak.
And it felt a little too handheld camera-ish. But I don't know why that worked for me. It felt very grounded because of that for me.
Well, it felt very workmanlike.
Very workmanlike. That's what I'm saying. Let's take a break here. Let's do a piece of this film. Child of God, come back, tear into some of these scenes. What do you say?
All right.
Talk about what floats up and sinks to the bottom or whatever. Here you go. Child of God. We're going to come back, get into more of what this film had in it, the inner workings of it. So here you go. Child of God 2013.
Hello. I know you're waiting. Something kept me. Of course I'll shut the door. It's chilly. I'm a little nervous. I have a small confession to make to you. You might be the most beautiful woman I ever seen in my life. I'd be very honored if I could have one kiss.
Congratulations, you just listened to a piece of Child of God.
And you're still with us.
Yeah, 2013.
Did you get any of that? Any of it?
Yeah.
At all?
That's the film Savage brought into the queue today, and we're talking about it right here. Let's talk about some scenes. Can I bring one up real quick?
Sure.
My favorite scene, effective scene?
Yeah.
This is where I'm like, okay, they're bringing the material as I need it, which is a gut punch. We all know what happens here. He takes the dead girl. His loneliness seeps into, this is as good as it's going to get for me.
Yeah.
I'm so desperate to feel something. Yeah. I'm going to play with a dead girl.
Well, and he felt something, all right.
Yeah, he did. But he brings her back, and that date between him and her, he actually courts her, knocks on the door, pretends that her dad's answering the door, and he's going to get her back.
So tragic.
Just tragic. And you could see he's putting the lipstick on her, putting a pretty dress on her. And he was actually making love. It wasn't like this is a degenerate that's a sexual fetish. He wasn't doing this as a sexual fetish.
No.
It was just sheer loneliness. So effective for me.
Yeah.
Scott Hayes, that's when I thought he ate the role right there.
Yeah.
What do you got, Savage?
My favorite scene is another crazy woman scene, is the woman in the woods that he finds.
Worst accent ever.
Didn't get that.
Okay.
No, that was when he was on the precipice right there. He could have changed either way right that. There was an attempt of kindness that he tried. He tried to save somebody at that point, and it was thrown in his face, and it went the other way.
Yeah, explain that scene to me real quick. I'm trying to figure out, like Max, I didn't know what that was. He stumbles upon this girl in her granny panties.
Right.
Laying in the woods.
Right.
What was that?
Well, I think that's probably harkens back to the book. There's a whole nother subplot that's missing from the book.
Okay.
And probably,
did you read the book?
I've read the Cliff Notes version of it.
They said this was pretty accurate.
Yeah. So I suspect that that's just lifted from the book, because then you've got to get into why he's arrested, why he's in jail, why did he meet John. So it creates that subtext that he has to experience throughout the rest of the film. But I saw it as this was a moment where his life could have turned. Because if he could have saved her, if he could have brought her back to somewhere, he could have saved himself at that point. and it was thrown in his face.
But that goes back to what I was saying, that he did show kindness to her.
Yeah.
And he didn't touch her. He ended up running away, and she, you know, throwing stuff at him as he ran away. And he goes into the, police office or whatever. And they
the high sheriff of Sevier County.
But they were questioning him, and she flat out lied and said, you know, he raped me. That's what happened. And he's denying it, but everybody's, like, looking at him like, yeah, this guy totally did that. Just look at the guy.
Right.
You know, so they were projecting that onto him. Mm-hmm. So what's the point in being nice right now? You know, everybody just thinks that I'm a degenerate. Who cares?
What do you think about the cop played by, what's his name? Was he effective in the story as far as playing a bit of the heavy on him? How did you like his character?
As far as just the sheriff, I think that it was pretty forgettable. He was forgettable as a character. But he did spearhead my whole point of view on the movie, projecting all this onto him, onto Lester.
Okay, so his role in the film was kind of to step in once in a while and remind you that this guy's a degenerate.
That nobody likes you.
That nobody likes you.
This is what you are.
Yeah.
You'll never be anything better.
Right. That you don't belong.
He kind of spoke on behalf of the town. He let you know how everybody in the town basically felt.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't elected official.
Yeah, I guess so. Max Gumbo Johnson, get into it, man. When you consider this film, I don't think you're kind of hot and more cold on it. But what jumps out?
Well, like y'all said before, it made me want to go back and read the book, because there's things in here, there's choices in here that I'm like, I'll give you one for an example. At the very beginning of the movie, he's walking up to where they're auctioning off the property, and he's got that lever-action rifle, and he keeps cocking it. If you do that,
bullets are going to pop
all
out.
All you're going to do is have bullets popping out, and that's his threatening thing. He's like, I'm walking around cocking my gun, get off my property. Well, okay, I want to know why was he doing that, because he didn't have bullets, or was he just trying to make a threatening thing, or what was going on there with that?
I thought the exact same thing. Even when he was hunting in the woods after that, I was like, he's not shooting because he doesn't have any bullets in the gun.
And then I guess exactly when he stole the money, he went and bought some bullets.
You can take that. Some of the technical stuff, I thought, okay, how is he getting these bullets? I thought about that.
Well, I'm sure he
And I'm thinking, okay, well,
range.
I'll just have to assume something. That's okay. I can
money.
Just assume things for you once in a while.
It is Tennessee. There's a Walmart around every corner.
Well, but anyway, but my point is that particular choice of him standing there cocking the gun over and over and over, there's a reason that's there. Because, I mean, this guy, they talk about what a sharp shooter he is. He's not going to walk around just wasting bullets.
Right.
So that sort of thing makes me want to go back and say, okay, was that in the book? Was he doing that for a reason? There were a lot of things like that in this movie for me. I didn't mind the story so much. I thought it was interesting. I just thought it was... some parts of it were a little too overplayed, a little too heavy-handed as far as I was concerned. They should have delved into a little bit more of the dark material, I guess. And
how much more darker could
you go? I'm not saying get more dark. I'm just saying give it a little bit more exposition. Let me find out a little bit more about this guy.
Rather than just have the narrator say, well, here's the story.
It seems like they focused on some of the wrong things. They should have been more focused on... like you keep saying, that the themes of alienation and stuff. Yeah. You're going to go for that. I mean, really go for it. I wanted to see.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense
to
me.
I wanted to see more of that.
More, and he maybe even have him be more, or not more, but a little more static. Like not moving around and doing so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sitting by a fire. What makes loneliness is, you know, sitting there mopey, I guess.
Well, there's one scene where he's sitting by the fire reading the newspaper out loud to an imaginary person.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty lonely.
Well, but that also establishes that he's not completely uneducated, because he can read, and he can read fairly quickly.
And counter that with dragging a mattress through a creek.
Yeah.
And then dropping the mattress and grabbing the mattress and dropping your shirt. That dude was having a bad day.
I think he was pretty resourceful, though, at the same time, too. He knew how to set up that cabin. He knew how to drag that mattress. He knew how to shoot and, by the way, catch a chicken.
Right. Yeah.
He knew how to put
a
pigeon's...
cage.
In a pigeon's head in its mouth and bite the head off the pigeon.
Right.
Take a dump in the woods and clean out your crack with
that's
a stick.
That's not how you do that.
Nah,
I mean,
that's not how you do that.
I think a lot of those things also brought to the idea that he's been out here a while.
Yeah.
He's learned how to adapt to this.
Yeah. He was feral. He became wild.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that's just established, semi-established by his... Again, it goes back to the narrator. We're talking about his gun. You know, he worked and worked, and the day he had enough money, he quit and went and bought that rifle, and boy, he sure knows how to shoot it.
We don't need to know that.
You know, like,
we honestly take that whole narration out of the movie, and we got that.
Yeah. I got it.
They showed us that he knows how to shoot.
With the carnival
It doesn't
thing.
Matter where he got the gun. I assume his dad. Yeah. So... What do you do?
Yeah.
But you said he doesn't like to waste bullets. If we're talking about scenes, I don't know if we're talking about shooting the bears. Yeah, well, he shot all his animals up, and and that was kind of like the I feel like that was a turn for him. Like,
it was.
That's where he lost. He says, "Oh, you know what he said when he's shooting him? I wrote this down.
My friends, y'all betrayed me."
He says, "I'll teach you what they taught me," and that's where he just decides, you know what? I'm not going to try to be good. I'm just going to let it engulf me.
Right. That's what I. That's good.
Hey, you talked about the gun, though. You know, the narrator got into that. He says he worked for 8 cents a post. He got this gun when he was a kid, and the minute he had enough money from digging posts. He got his gun. He never went back to work.
Yeah.
See, I mean, the narrator stepped in and gave you a nice backstory for everything you kind of needed.
But like he just said, we didn't need to know that.
I do. I want to know how long he's had this gun and how long has he been damaged. When he's 13, 14 years old, he already decided work ain't for me. Society ain't for me. Isn't for me. Proper English.
Yeah, because his dad, what, they said it, he killed him when he was 12?
When he was 12, but all he wanted was his gun and to be alone. So the death of his father... was what sent him into that abyss.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. That the whole timeline kind of throws me off, too. I would like a little explanation there.
Well, and then I thought that if you pick easy choices, you can do the obvious. All right, here's Act 1, I'm telling you, literally, Act 1.
Yeah, the three.
Act 2, Act 3.
Well, I read a little bit. They said the book's actually set up exactly like that. So
I can forgive that. That and the sick dog was a really heavy-handed parable for me.
Oh, the sheriff?
Yeah, Susie the sick dog.
Susie the dog, she'll always be sick.
Yeah, sick.
But that set the idea that, okay, this guy just thinks that sick is sick and it needs to be done with.
Yeah.
That set the idea that he's not going to have any sympathy for this dude.
No, he knows there's no hope because Lester's a sick dog.
Because you got to ask yourself, why is he telling this story that's going to set the tone that he doesn't appreciate sick things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were in car 54.
Hey, Max, what did you think of the carnival scene, though, when that dude tried to keep him from getting the prize? He's like, no, you didn't knock the whole center out of the thing. And Lester's like, well, give it to me again. I'll show you how it's done.
Well, I mean, he did it.
Yeah.
He did what he had to do. He wanted that tiger.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I thought he was like looking at these animals like, oh, warmth.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I can sleep on these and be warm.
He made friends out of them.
Yeah, and then he goes to the cabin and he's in this bed looking at him across the room. I'm like, you dummy. Cuddle, man.
Cuddle.
So
that's exactly what I thought. I thought, oh, man, this dude's like, well, I can use these like a sleeping bag.
Yeah, hey, question for you. I'm looking at my notes here, and this is something I was desperate to ask you guys. What happened to the dead girl and the dead boy? Did they commit suicide? What happened?
It was poorly set up. Poorly set up.
I thought it was carbon monoxide poisoning or something.
Yeah, but the exhaust pipe wasn't blocked. I read what they did in the book, how they explained it in the book. They got stuck into they stopped to make out in a snowstorm. Fell asleep, and the snow piled up around the exhaust pipe and back into the car. That's what happened in the book.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought, okay, either I'm going to accept this and just let it go and just say, okay, that's what it is, or I'm going to let it bother me. I decided not to let that bother me because it is a poor setup.
It's a very poor setup.
It is.
Very poorly done. There should have been something else there to explain.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have them have bullet holes in their head or something, anything.
Right. Yeah. I don't know,
explain why,
man.
They were dead.
Maybe they pulled a Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. Poison.
Yeah, something. I mean,
but
something.
Were you not engaged when he decided, okay, this is my boy? I tell you what, the sex scenes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, hot.
Brutal.
He thought they were hot.
I was about to say.
I mean, I think he actually went for it and finished. That's how committed Scott Hayes is because they didn't.
He's
hold
got
back
three kids now.
Yeah. One of them's you, right? Sevier County.
Right.
Oh, stop.
Nah. No, just playing.
But once again, I thought he just raged in the role, and it really worked for me.
Yeah,
I liked his accent. I liked the way I could barely understand, but understood at the same time.
I did too.
What do you think also at the end, something else I thought was a little rushed, but I could still appreciate it, was when he decides to go back and take over what he thinks is his family's plot. And he shoots that old guy, and the guy...
shoots him?
He has the scalp on his head. Mm-hmm. What about all that?
Yeah, no, he'd completely gone into the abyss at that point. I mean, as far as the film is structured, he was obviously just insane. How do you explain insanity? You don't show up with lipstick and a scalp and dress and try to murder somebody without
Leatherface does.
Yeah,
well, insane.
Insanity.
I mean, it was just insanity.
Did you like the scene? Did you feel?
I did.
Did you feel shocked by it like they wanted you to?
Yeah. I mean, and it was, I found it genuinely creepy.
I was
in the skirt and the weird smeared makeup and.
That is creepy.
Just
but
running
add some
from tree
mood to
tree.
The cinematography, and you got a standout, crazy, crazy scene for the ages. But this is just going to get lost.
So you're with the pundits that say it needed more money. It just kind of needed a bigger set.
I know what Hoodie's saying. It was like flat almost. It was just like brown. Very, yeah.
I needed black and whites and mood is what I'm saying. Style. Give me some of that.
Jim Jarmusch could have made this into a
game. I was just thinking that. I'm not even joking. When we went to break, I was trying to picture how Jim Jarmusch would handle it, and I thought Dead Man. And that would
you
be
know what I'm saying? Exactly. Almost like you're looking at a comic book.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would have worked well. But the story got me. I don't know. That means about the story. Hey, one more thing, too. The ending. Let's talk about the ending before we wrap this up. We don't need to talk about more dead people.
Yeah.
Or humping dead people or anything else. The ending. Here comes James Franco. You call him a credit crawler. He had a little bit of a role here. He comes in as the lynch mob at the end because obviously Lester now has gone into full rage mode. I guess he's picked off people off Lover's Lane.
I guess so.
Drags him back to the cave. What did you think of let's drag him out of by the way, he loses an arm.
Yeah, from getting shot.
Getting shot. So now he's just this lump of just desecration laying in this bed.
He didn't lose his arm, he just couldn't use it.
It was gone.
Shot off.
I thought he had it up under a sling.
No, they amputated. Yeah. They looked at his old little stump there all wrapped up.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess I missed that.
Yeah.
I thought it was in a sling.
He couldn't even grab a stick right now.
It wasn't a really good effect. I mean, it did look like his arm was stuffed in his shirt because it was stuffed in his shirt.
Yeah, it was stuffed in his shirt. But did you like the ending when they drag him off and he escapes and the way it ended was so strange? Did you like that?
I had a problem with that.
Ripped off The Descent.
I don't know.
I think the book came out way before The Descent.
Just because a guy's in a cave doesn't mean there's a descent ripped off.
No, he pops out of the cave and out of the ground like Birth.
I don't know if it's a descent ripoff. First of all, it was written in 1969.
Well, I mean, there may be
about the movie, not the book.
There may be something to the rebirth imagery.
It's definitely a rebirth thing.
Right.
And when he's laying in that cavern in the cave, it looked like a womb. Yeah. He's curled up in the fetal position.
Right.
I think you're reading way too much into that, honestly.
You don't think that they put him in a fetal position in a thing about the size of a womb and have him crawl up out of the ground?
Okay. So you do that. You give me all of that metaphor, and then he breaks out of the ground, and he's in a field.
Running around.
And then you don't tell me the change that he's gone through. Mm-hmm. He just runs around. So why do all the rebirth and not tell me what kind of change he's going to be through? You can do that. Honestly, an artist can show me change in one really good scene or one really good shot. So I can say, wow, okay, that guy's he's changing. And that didn't really happen.
No, it just ends.
It just ends with him like dancing off like house on the
woods.
Prairie.
Mm-hmm. I like the ambiguous thing.
Yeah. But
I like
in the book, he makes it to a mental health institution.
Oh, does he really?
And he makes it.
I just thought that he's a child of the ground. I mean, when you're left with just no one there for you and you just kind of come up with no one there to give you love or warmth, you just become crazy running around. I thought that was kind of the metaphor. I don't know.
And one thing, how have we gone this far in the show without talking about Scott Hayes' snot control? He's got such an amazing power to control such an amount of snot.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, that was like... That was an amazing amount of snot. I would have given it a 4, but I went to a 5 because
snot control.
That's something.
That's you realize not easy.
Some people,
it went out past his chin,
and he
brought it back in.
Oh my God, he did.
Yep.
And I was like, whoa, that guy knows how to do that.
That's amazing. I think anything he could expel from his body, he expelled in this movie. Because you remember the side of the car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up then. There's your conversation right there. Child of God 2012. And we're going to take one more break, listen to a piece of the film. Directed by James Franco. Come back, talk about our top threes. And this week, obviously, top three degenerates. Where did we get this idea?
How about you, young man?
What is here?
On the card. Shoot out the red dot in the middle. You have 5 chances in which to do it. You pick any choice prize in the house. And the elbow rest is permitted.
Oh, they're right. I don't need no rest.
There, that is 2013's Child of God. There's a piece from it, and leads us to our top three, as they all do. Let's get into this one, and let's lead it off with James Hardsub Savage. We're talking about top three movie degenerates inspired by Child of God. What you got?
I'm going to pick the easy fruit. I'm taking the Bad Lieutenant, Harvey Keitel.
Oh, that's up there.
Yeah. If he's got to make the list, so I'll put him on it. There you go.
I think that might be the pinnacle of an answer.
Nope. I got two more.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you keep it in the queue. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of keeping it real, let's go straight over to Matthew St. Udy. What you going to go with for your number three?
I haven't seen this movie in a long time. I don't remember their names, but the Mountain Men of Deliverance.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's like they had names.
Did they have them?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's probably why I couldn't think of them.
That was like a degenerate posse.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It was a trio
yeah.
of degeneration.
Yeah. You know, you know,
had
you know,
a pretty mouth on him.
Yeah. You know why they call it toothpaste? Because if it was anywhere else, it'd be teeth paste. That's why. yeah, you know that joke. Max yeah, Gumbo Johnson. Know, good answer, good. By the way, Hoodie.
Number three. I'm going to have to go with Frank Wyler from Booy Omega.
Don't know what the hell that is.
It's a horror movie from the early 80s. A guy's girlfriend gets killed and he stuffs her and starts having an affair with his housekeeper.
Ooh.
It just gets worse and worse from that.
I don't like it.
He's a necromantic.
Yeah, this is where Adam says, I liked it.
It's a necrophiliac.
I've never seen it. It's a fun watch.
It's a fun watch. A fun ride it is.
It's a disturbing film.
Adam, number three. We're talking about movie degenerates inspired by Child of God. What you got?
I'm not going to play any games. I'm just going to throw them out there. One, two, and three. David Hess.
David Hess.
David Hess.
David Hess.
Pretty much.
What's he talking
house,
about?
Last House.
Last House, house on the
Edge of the Park. Last House on the Left and Hitchhike.
Okay, I don't even know what this is.
He's a degenerate.
In everything.
In everything.
Okay, so you just
David
say
Hess.
Just David Hess.
David he's Hess in everything, pretty
he's
much.
The go-to degenerate.
Yes.
Okay. My number three. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with a movie that I didn't like at all, but I think he's a severe degenerate in this movie. And it creeped me out. And, we're talking about Stanley Tucci from The Lovely Bones.
The Tooch.
The Big Tooch.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I didn't like that film, but I liked him in it. Hard Sub Savage.
Yeah.
Number twos. We're rolling here, man.
Yeah,
what you got?
Making our list again in a short amount of time. Divine. Pink Flamingos.
Oh, good one.
What a,
just everybody a gross in Pink Flamingos.
Why do you keep telling me about this movie?
Because it's pretty. Oh.
We had to name some degenerates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
Matthew
right.
Saint
Hoodie. Even heard it.
Patron saint number two. What is it?
Bad Santa.
Yeah.
That guy
keeping it in the queue. Yeah.
Keeping it in the queue. Right.
Yeah, I would call him a degenerate. I guess.
Sure, he was a degenerate. Absolutely he was.
Producer, I want you to produce to me your number two answer. Go.
David Hess.
He's
already said, this is my one, two, and three.
Oh, God. I thought you were just saying that as for your number three. Okay.
Right.
This is pretty lazy on your behalf, but I like it.
It's not lazy. Y'all would guess it by the second one. Be like, oh, let me guess number one. David Hess.
All right, Mr. Hess. I'll take your word for it. You've sparked my interest. If I want to see degenerates, I guess I'm going to go watch a David Hess film. Max Gumbo Johnson, what's your number two? What is it?
Frank Zito, Maniac. He was he killed people and scalped them and made mannequins out of them. Then he had sex with them.
Yeah. I see you're keeping a theme going.
Yeah. Definite theme to my list.
You're right.
I can't say you've sold me. I'll take your word for that. Number two for me. How could you not talk about Gary Oldman in something? He plays a lot of degenerates. I'm going to go with Drexel from True Romance.
Yeah.
He was a degenerate living in like squalor in his drug house and pimp.
He was a pimp.
But he was just a degenerate to me.
Think.
What else is he?
He's a pimp. It's hard out there on a pimp. He's trying to get money for the rent.
Pimps are degenerates.
Yeah, but he just seemed like a degenerate even by pimp standards.
All right. Drexel.
Sounds like a really good
He just, you know what it is? I think a degenerate relishes the underbelly of society. And I think he relished it. To me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Number ones. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, number ones.
Ooh, James Hardsub.
Yep.
Savage.
Yep. Historical degenerate. Actually, real dude. Caligula. Absolute degenerate.
What makes him a degenerate?
What doesn't make
him a degenerate? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Every bad thing you hear about Roman society.
He started it.
Basically.
Yeah.
He started it.
More of a trailblazer than a degenerate.
Oh, yeah. I like that much better.
if you have not seen the Caligula, watch it.
You're not selling him on this.
No, well, I can't help.
You don't, you're talking about the movie though.
Yeah,
the basic porno.
Kind of.
Okay, I haven't seen.
Well,
that
no, it's a Roman. Well,
the R-rated version and the X-rated version are basically the same movie. The X-rated version inserted like 5 minutes of pornographic material.
John Gielgud in it for God's sake. Okay. Peter O'Toole
and Malcolm McDowell, the guy that'll do anything.
another guy who will.
You want me to poop for you?
Sure. Okay. You want me to stick my fist where? Okay.
Okay. I'm not going to ask that of you, Hoodie. I'm just going to ask you to give me your number one. Don't worry about it. Just that.
Right. I'm going to give an honorable nod to Requiem for a Dream. That was just awful.
Oh, man. That's a good answer.
But my number one is Bad Lieutenant.
It has to be.
Nick Cage? Portico?
No.
I hadn't seen that one.
The Harvey Keitel. What are you talking about?
That is such a degenerate. Producer, we know what yours is. Yours is like Bill Flax or
Herman
whatever.
Hess.
Herman Hess.
David Hess.
David Hess.
David Hess. Who's supposedly a very nice guy.
Yes.
What
he
read.
Wrote music. He was a good musician.
I don't know that part.
What about you, Max Gumbo Johnson? What you rolling with?
Oh, continuing the theme, Robert and Betty from Necromantic.
The whole necro thing.
Well, Robert brings
inspired by Ballard.
I guess so. Yeah, I know. It makes me sad.
Here's the worst part. Robert brings home a dead body, and they both have sex with it. They have like a threesome.
All right. Seriously.
And then Betty leaves him and takes the body.
Oh, come on.
Whoa,
man.
He lost his woman to a dead dude.
Cold,
but for how long?
Until it rotted away. But it was rotting away while they were doing it. It got pretty nasty.
I'm done.
You know what? Good answer. My number one degenerate, I'm going to keep it with Gary Oldman. I'm going to go with Sid from Sid and Nancy.
Yeah. Historical degenerate.
Well, I mean, he celebrated his degeneration. He created a movement and a noise and a music and a sound with his degeneration.
Boy, he was just confused.
He was just a degenerate. Come on. Unapologetically so.
Yeah, he was great in that movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
really good. That kind of flopped. I don't like my Gary Oldman.
He's a musician. He was that other dude. Who's a dude who died not long ago? He used to get on stage naked and stuff. What's that guy's name?
G.G. Allen.
G.G. Allen. G.G. Allen.
Allen. I think he went by Allen.
I don't care what he went by.
Pretentious.
All right, so does that wrap it up? Does that wrap it up? Yeah. We did it, didn't we? We went through our top three movie degenerates.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot of degenerates
There's
out there.
There's tons of them. Frank Booth.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. Yeah, I wanted to go to where I kind of wanted to go. Oh, is that really a degenerate? I wanted to kind of be kind of a little bit of a cloudy area there.
I wanted to say the eight dignitaries in Salo, but I didn't.
Yeah, I was surprised none of that came up. I was thinking like Centipede.
I wanted to say Martin from Human Centipede too.
Oh, the
but
Human
I didn't.
Centipede. Yeah. Well, you know, we put this out on Twitter. Some things
I wanted
came
to
back.
Say Wong Chi Hang from The Untold Story, but I didn't.
Wong Chi Hang.
That's his name, Wong Chi Hang.
Check this out. Put this out. Just a few things. You know, Mads Machina at the Film Bambina. She plays along a little bit. She said, Alex Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
She said, do you always read these on the shows? Yes, we do. Proof. There you go.
Take that, Alex Bambina. Whatever.
Listen, our buddy Rosender, I just kind of liked what he put here. I think it's funny. He just put the Jesus.
The Jesus.
Oh, the Jesus.
From Big Lebowski.
Yeah. Right. Don't mess with the Jesus.
Yeah. He's a pederast.
Yeah, he was actually a degenerate. Yeah, okay.
You're right.
Good call.
And we had a bunch of them film Samurai, Bad Lieutenant. There's like four or five people said Bad Lieutenant. That's why we don't have a big list this time, because it's like everybody said Bad Lieutenant.
They're all right.
Oh, man. So that ends this one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whose turn is it?
Yours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is next week's film. Well, we're going to reveal this thing right now, and I'm talking about 2010's Indie Love, Iowadati film, the guy that directed it. We're talking about Submarine.
Submarine.
Yeah, a lot of people like this film. My wife really liked this film, so I thought, all right, Lisa, I'll take your lead on this one. We can talk about this. Popped up on Netflix.
All right.
Submarine from 2010. That's next week's selection by me and my wife, Lisa. Yeah, we went and seen it at the Belcourt.
What did you do, Michael?
What?
You got to pick a Lisa film.
You have to pick a Lisa film.
I made
what
her,
did you
I made,
do?
Well, I did come home after chilly night. chilly
what
apocalypse.
What I need you to do tonight is just stay real still.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do next week, and there you are. And that's where this one ends, I do believe. Child of God, next week is Submarine, the Welch film from 2010. And, hey, you know, you go to thecuefilmcast.net, by the way. You want to keep with us. That's keep with us. We're not going to edit that. You want to keep up with us. You go to thecuefilmcast.net. And, there you can leave your own review of this one if you dare watch. Let us know what you think, how we're doing. Leave us some feedback. We love that. So that's where this one stops, guys. Next week, Submarine. So until then, take care of yourselves. And however it is you say, oh, good night. We
sunshine.